And now, an announcement from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Shift, helping contractors like you leverage BIM to secure a leading position in the race towards construction's digital future. Visit makethshft.digital for more. This episode is brought to you by Build Vision, transforming construction supply chain by bringing contractors, manufacturers, and stakeholders onto a single software platform. Visit buildvision.io to find out more.
How's your coffee?
Cheers. Oh, it's actually coffee with water.
Coffee with water? When do you not have coffee with water?
I had coffee, almost finished the coffee, and I had water.
Just have the raw beans?
Raw beans?
That's what they do in Poland?
No. I came back from Poland actually a few days ago.
How was it? What did you learn?
What did I learn?
You don't normally go away without coming back with some revolutionary breakthrough.
Yeah. So I was in Warsaw for a few days, and I really like the city because it's less crowded than here. And the amenities, it's just developing so well, I found. And it's cheap as well. So Warsaw has very good USP. Have you been?
No, never been. I'd like to go.
Maybe we can go together.
I've never been to Poland before.
You've never been to Poland?
No.
Fucking hell. Really?
Yeah.
We need to go.
Like, how was your... You said you were debt collecting this morning, no?
Debt collecting?
Yeah.
Debt collecting?
Debt collecting.
Oh, debt collecting. Yeah, there was a trial. So I had a meeting on site. And...
Did you collect the debt?
No.
Damn.
No. I just need to write a series of emails saying that I will provide information. But...
But what?
But the bill needs to be paid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Is this a corporate client?
Corporate client, developer developing 9 homes in Kent. It's not corporate at all. Yeah. You don't want to deal with people like that.
Sounds like someone that would hold your money back until they really have to pay you or just try not pay you at all.
We'll see. I hope the first one. Yeah. What about you?
This morning? I didn't go debt collecting.
No, this week.
This week?
Mm.
This week, Monday, I had off.
What was the toughest thing this week or from last Wednesday till now?
The toughest thing I've done?
Toughest.
Probably spending 3/4 full days with my daughter, Olivia, who is like...
15. Here is an announcement. The toughest thing for one is to spend time with his family.
No, this is the first holiday I went away with her and I was like, oh my God, I'm actually knackered. Like,
you're actually
on the move. Yeah, she's on the move and it's just like me and Fran sat down after every day and we were both like falling asleep on the sofa like 8:30 at night. Oh, it's actually if you just go to bed. Yeah, much, much easier thing to do. So Martin, wait till you have kids. You will definitely age a few years in a matter of months.
Mm-hmm. Dog first.
But totally worth it.
We agreed dog first.
You agreed on the dog.
Yeah. Yeah, so we shall see. Should we?
Yeah, let's dive on in. So what happened? What happened? What was your... it was obviously, we're talking about what happened in April. We released 9 episodes?
9 episodes in April, yeah.
That's quite a lot. That's yes. Like 2-3 per week in some instances. So
we started releasing
the BBBC, which is the Bricks Bytes broadcast with Patrick. We record that on Fridays and release on Saturdays. And I think the first one came out beginning of April.
Yeah.
And we've now done four.
What was the first one about?
First one was about Permit Flow and...
Okibo?
Ferno Materials.
Ferno, yes. Yeah.
So that's a new format we'll be continuing with Patrick, recorded each Friday, talking about some construction tech news as well as like the investor's perspective on this news. It's always good to
Enjoy them because there's lots of very precise information that you can't dispute because the money talks, the VC. So I really, really enjoy this, like perspective of the venture on the news or on the company or on the funding. So
there's no bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, very nice. And then we also released like a few. Like, what were your, I guess, highlights from the, what should we call it? Have you ever heard of the term sausage meat before?
Sausage meat.
It's like the sausage factory that creates the sausages. The meat that goes into the sausages is just like what you churn out every day. So like our content that it just typically gets released every Tuesday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite episodes?
My favorite episodes?
Yeah.
From last month? I can't say favorite because that would be...
You can.
Can I?
It's personal.
Yeah. So I really actually enjoyed... So apart from weekly with Patrick, I really enjoyed Roman's episode from Canary Wharf Group, Sean Van Dyke. There was lots of information about business in general, very useful and pragmatic information in there.
Give some examples.
Profits first, right? You don't do business just to do business or to, you know, work from 7 till 7 or 7 till 9. You just do it for profits. And that's what should be primary goal of a business owner, really, to think about the profits and then deduct from that, reverse engineer from that. So that's the kind of my main takeaway. But I think also his story about being, was it architect? Yeah, doing architecture at the beginning and then shifting towards construction. And then in the end of the day, his coaching business. So what I really, really admired in him is that he was able to spot the right moments in his life to turn around his course, his path, right? Mm-hmm. So I really, really like, not many people can do that. So I think...
Making the shift.
Yeah.
So do you implement this profit first now?
I think I'm much better now than I used to be. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
So the answer is no.
No. Like, you just how deep you want to go into it? Yeah.
Well, like, do you every time you get a transaction from or an incoming payment from a client, do you automatically apportion a percentage of that into a profit fund?
Yeah, I've got like, you know, I know what the cost of service is. So that's my X. And I know what the invoice is. That's 4X, 5X, 6X. Depends on the service.
Wow, so, sounds like a good business.
Well, similar like you. Yeah, what's the secret sauce? Yeah, so always thinking about the costs first. Like, well, costs, what's the cost? And then multiple of the cost must be the revenue, yeah?
Yeah, I really liked his analogy, about the toothpaste. Yeah. I'm not going to try and recite it because I will destroy it, but I would highly recommend checking that little snippet out.
What was it that you squeezed the toothpaste to?
That's like I said, I'm not going to try.
Change, yeah.
I will not do it justice,
yeah.
So I won't even go there.
Sure. What else? What about you? What did you enjoy? What was your favorite?
Well, like you say, you know, you're going to use your excuses, hard to say, but... I kind of categorized the key things that I got into like some buckets of information. So I had like raising funds. We spoke a little bit about a few people. So we had Fraser Patterson, who explained to us. it kind of like, I feel like now I know it, I hear it a lot more. Like, you know, when it's got to be some kind of cognitive bias where you hear something then you can't stop hearing it. But raising funds is a lot about storytelling and the stories you tell.
Yeah.
Maybe not the substance behind the story, but if you can tell a great story, then you can probably raise a few millions of a certain type of VC.
Yeah. And we chatted about this with Patrick as well, about PR and like, what's the, why do people, like, is it net benefit to announce that you raised or you're raising found or not? Yeah.
Depends. You have to have an aim behind it. There's no point just raising an announcement for the sake of an announcement. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a motivation behind it, then do it. Know who your target audience is. His key point was, for in the construction industry specifically, appearing as a startup can be very detrimental to your efforts, because the corporates in construction don't want to deal with startup companies, they want established companies. So if you're singing, shouting that you've just raised a load of money and you're a new company and da 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 da, it probably turns some of your potential customers off.
Yeah, for some that's probably true, but I think for majority they want to announce it, they want to be seen. That brings talent into the business, into the startup. That brings the interest of investors, of potential customers, corporates. So I think there's lots of benefits to announce this. The nuance, right, is probably like to what level information that you're giving out or you're selling is like truthful and exactly. It is objectively reasonable or it makes sense.
So what I took away is that some PR that gets released is just total bullshit and it is not actually reflective of what actually happened. Mm. It's just being portrayed to the media. So I guess like maybe be skeptical about what you read.
Yeah, definitely. I recently, this week actually, I listened to a podcast with a guy, I can't remember his name, but he works for Kulczyk Capital. It's like the largest private fund in Poland. Yeah. And this is the wealthiest Polish guy, right? That has this fund. And he said, because he goes a lot to the US to, they deal with startups as well. And he said that when an American company, they announced that they have earnings or they want to pitch to other business to get acquired, they would say if they have EBITDA of 100, they would say they have EBITDA of 200. Yeah. If it's a like Eastern European startup going to America trying to pitch, they would say, oh, we can't say that we are at 100 because that's factual. They just downplay themselves just in case. And they end up saying that they are 60, not 100. Yeah. So that's a very interesting thing that I actually got from this simultaneously to our interviews with Patrick and PR, that in this like Western area, people overplay their real position, and
in the Eastern,
they kind of like downplay it. Yeah.
Wow. So maybe we need to explore like the cultural nuance.
Yeah, I think it's just interesting. Interesting.
It's a good point. I couldn't tell you why that is, but it's definitely something worth exploring, like trying to understand.
I think in the West, they figure out marketing much better. Yeah. It's all what it is, marketing, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you driven past some of those billboards in the US? Amazing. Mm. Raising funds as well. I mean, like I really enjoyed that Tom Dean story from Project Mark. Mm. Like I think he said he left Ireland. They had like $1,500 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started building Project Mark, got some traction, and then so on and so forth. And now they initially raised about $500,000 from some early customers, and then they went on to raise a few million as a seed round from multiple investors. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like a great story. The podcast, Tom is like a great storyteller. So
where is he based? Are they in Canada or US?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. So the episode in terms of entertainment factor was like right up there with me. Mm-hmm, for me.
Mm-hmm. I also really enjoyed discussing Enter actually and retrofitting, because this is like a real problem that I can see like every day when I'm at work. Yeah, so we've got this issue with old housing stock, and something needs to be done to it because
was it like 20 million, 30 million?
The number? I think it was like 29 million.
Yeah.
29 million in the UK, 26 in Germany, million homes that will need retrofitting. But I think these now you can find different numbers, depends where you look for, right? So this is like a clear thing to tackle without any excessive software. There is real tangible work that needs to happen to make things better. So I really kind of like this type of business activities, right? That you see something tangible coming out of technology.
Such useful for humanity rather than instant grocery delivery.
Yeah.
I think this is useful for humanity.
The instant gross
maybe useful for you as an individual.
Well, not really.
Have you ever ordered one?
What, groceries?
Instant grocery delivery. No.
We used to sometimes do delivery, but that's food, not groceries. You do a lot of it, yeah?
Huh?
You do a lot of it.
Never. I've never actually ordered from there.
Really?
Yeah, we get our food shopping delivered from Tesco, but not just like if I need some eggs, I'm like, oh, come on, man. Can someone come and deliver this to me? Like,
I've not heard about this. I've not heard about this. Is Tesco a British company?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, started in the markets. Mm. I learned that in business studies, A level.
Mm.
Yeah. I think we spoke a lot about robotics as well. This is something we're very excited about, you and I. And we talk about a lot now.
Yeah.
And where robotics was going. I actually saw like a, I don't know if it's a market map or like a map of the of the amount of robotics startups that are in, I don't think they're necessarily in construction tech, but they kind of interface with construction. And there's a lot.
Like different types of robotics or?
They're all different things from like bricklaying to like welding and cutting steel on site, painting.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. And I think the interesting part is like, what do they solve for? Do they solve for, you know, kind of off-site model on site so that you've got robots doing things on site, but they are not kind of tackling one P&L model, P&L kind of item. So robots which are helping just, you know, to put the screws into a wall, but the P&L item is wall, not the screws. So
are they putting a wall up?
Huh?
Are they putting a wall up? Is that what you're asking?
A wall up?
A wall up, yeah.
Yes.
Like drywall?
Yeah. So, I think we are still quite far from like having these robots on sites that...
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with as well, personally. I've probably said this multiple times, but having not seen one on a site. And also like just speaking with people that work for contractors as well. Like they don't even... People that I've spoken to are not really even thinking about it.
Mm. So do you think that robots will be first on like smaller sites or larger sites?
I would have to say, I would personally think smaller. You would find to mid-sized contractor and be like, look, we'll do your bricklaying for you.
Man.
It's like lower risk. You saw like a bricklayer on like a big tower, say in London, and something goes wrong.
I can tell you, after my morning meeting with this small developer, there's zero chance people like that will ever, in the next 30 years, adopt stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's zero chance. The mentality is
cheaper. But how old are these people?
50, definitely 50s. Yeah. I was the youngest guy in the room.
Yeah. Well, I would say people from that age demographic are a little bit resilient to.
But even like... mentality of a small, medium-sized developer like doing, let's say, 20 plots on site is still to do it like on budget, on costs.
Yeah, and, you know, as cheaply and as corners, ugly as possible.
Yeah, cut corners here, cut corners there. And
so, I found a funny Twitter profile, actually.
Mm.
And it basically had like someone, guy on there, he's dedicated, well, I wouldn't say his life, but he dedicates a good chunk of his time like putting pictures of really ugly like developments that people have done. And like he just posts pictures of like the most disgusting designs of people. And it's clearly property developers because they have this like really shit design, which is like a white render with gray aluminium window frames. And it's just like... the most hideous thing. Who would ever sign this off? And I bet half the people that are building this stuff would like, I definitely wouldn't live there, but it makes me a profit. So
yeah, exactly. Well, as long as there's demand, there will be a supply for this kind of stuff as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be top notch.
Yeah. So robotics, the key things for me was like offering robotics as a service.
Mm.
So not selling the robots themselves, like actually,
yes.
Providing like what we were just discussing, basically. One other key insight that Patrick like got me really thinking about was focusing on tasks that are repeatable, have limited axis of motion, and you can control the environments. So like where there's like minimum amount of corners is also like I suppose it's like the most amount of work you can get done the easiest way. And then,
so what sort of services can one offer having this type of description? Yeah. So what is it, like bricklaying, right?
Yeah.
What, drywalling? Okibo has robot.
Roofing was mentioned, and as was paving.
Roofing.
Painting.
No, I think he said that he's looking for a startup like that which does roofing.
Oh, you mean stuff that exists?
Yeah. No, I mean which activities on site.
Yeah, which
P&L items can be tackled with robots within these three criteria? Yeah. Roofing.
Yes.
Hmm.
How about excavation?
Mm, your dad is an expert.
So I did speak to my dad about this, actually.
Did you?
Yes.
What did he say?
He said it could work, but where the issue comes is like if you've got underground services and stuff like that. It's like
hold on a second.
Could be a big issue.
The excavator, right, is a robot, effectively.
I like autonomous excavation, okay. I suppose.
Mm.
Like just pushing a button, like just mapping out some coordinates, and then the operator goes and sits and has a cup of coffee and comes back and all the trenches are dug.
Yeah, so that would work on the large sites, gigantic sites. On the small sites where you have site constraint and water table levels higher, etc., and like traffic, it's just going to be difficult. So that's why I think that larger sites will adopt them sooner.
Well, what about bricklaying though?
Bricklaying.
Because like, so a very large percentage of construction projects require bricks in long lengths of wall.
Well, so you know.
And a major shortage of bricklayers.
We'll be visiting next month in Monumental in their factory in
Amsterdam.
So we will find out how soon they are.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I agree. I think Canary Wharf was a great Roman, given some great tips. You always ask a question about ROI, and I thought what he said was kind of interesting. Was you can't necessarily measure the ROI, but of construction tech solutions, but preventing issues and time savings.
Yeah,
shouldn't be understated.
Yes, like Will used to say from Disperse, right? That how can I give you ROI on my services when I'm preventing what can happen, but I obviously don't know exactly what can happen because the range is quite big, right?
Yeah. Design, fostering partners.
Design.
For me, this was Sharif. What I found very interesting, before we started speaking to him, I was just like, they're going to be another company where you have all these design people like, hey, buy our solution, like, get eight pitches a day from someone designing the next, whatever it is. But interestingly, develop a huge majority, if not all, of their technology in-house. Mm-hmm. And that's what his role was, the applied R&D team.
Mm-hmm.
So they have various like project names they had, like Hermes and another one.
I can't remember. Greek gods.
Yeah, which allow like interoperability between their design teams. And interestingly, they do not sell this software to the market yet.
Yeah, so there's potential business model for them.
Yeah, well, so they potentially in the future may look at actually selling this as a product to the market. So that begs the question, like, would the products that they develop and sell be better than the products that other startups have developed that are then trying to sell in to other design firms?
So like from engineering point of view, as I'm a customer of few companies which provide software, the basic stuff which allows you to calculate a single beam, single column, single foundation or set of these elements within one model, 3D model, is there, right? And it functions well. I really struggle to find like what's the better solution, unless there is something that I can interactively talk to that will do it as I speak, will show me the results as I speak to it, and very quickly without doing too many moves on the with my mouse, I can figure out a solution, then give a quick call to an architect or have a very chat, very brief Zoom, and basically discuss the live project when we speak. That's something that I really would like to see.
Well, there are people doing it, not speaking though. Like, you know, like the multiplayer kind of interface where you're like, you would jump on a Zoom with that person and you'd pull up the design and you'd all be in and your mouse would be moving together and you'd see like Mark moving his mouse here and Gemma moving her mouse there, that she's changing something and you say.
I think that's super valuable, this kind of innovation, because it feels like this, it's everything that you took to calculate single elements, there's lots of stuff out there. I think from my point of view, what Sharif was saying about like if he started getting deeper into the technology of like programming and computational design, it was just completely above my pay grade at all. But yeah, I think there are a few architects who do, large architects who develop software themselves. But the question is like, what's the market for this type of stuff? Because as I said, there's already so much software out there, but major players, these solid cores, right? Solid core businesses that they provide provide services or products for the market, majority of the market. So, guys like Foster and Partners, they'll probably have very niche customers because what they do is kind of niche. There's very little projects like they do. So I don't know.
Depends how customized it is, I suppose.
But yeah.
But surely what they create can be applied to other industry, like not just the, because they work on like one-offs typically, yeah, like mm-hmm. very prestigious projects. So yeah, I'm not sure. What are you excited about in, maybe what happened this month that we didn't release?
What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, this month that we didn't release. So there's, we've been to XYZ Reality.
Z?
XYZ Reality. XYZ Reality headquarters in London. And we experienced a demo of their headset, which was mind-blowing to me. I've never had it. So I think it's definitely interesting space to watch and to participate in. Yeah, that was very cool.
It was mind-blowing, actually.
Yeah.
Completely mind-blowing. I just like... What was one of those moments for me where I almost couldn't believe these things exist. Like, it was that cutting edge, what they're developing. I was just like, oh my goodness. And to be honest, like, maybe we're just not in that market, but I don't hear people like raving about XYZ.
Like, raving as in like being positive.
Like going crazy about like, this is like mind-blowing technology. I'm sure within their like kind of like, because they focus very heavily on data centers and I'm not involved with that. Yeah. I don't know. But
yeah, that's
even
a very
construction
niche.
Tech world. Mm-hmm. They do a very good job in just like focusing on what they are like good at, mm-hmm. the data centers, and just like trying to nail that market, and then they'll just be moving into like whatever else. But I can see that being used on like every single project.
I'm just guessing data center can be like what, 2% of the whole construction in the world. So that's your answer. Why people are not raving about it. Yeah. So it's very niche, very boring as well, because there's lots of repetitive. And there's a structure and there is electrics, plumbing, and there's no finishes, I guess, even, right? So the mass consumer is not involved in it at all. Yeah. Well, I think I think they were saying that the goal is to move business towards more B2C kind of interactions, right? At some point in the future.
Yeah.
So once they are somehow in the residential, then that's where you will be hearing and seeing lots of them. What you were more impressed by, the headset or my ability to guess the distance between two points?
Fuck, yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah. Should we explain that?
No.
So Martin basically was able to estimate to the millimeter.
I was reading in your mind.
No. To the millimeter, what the distance that I had measured on a table using their headset was. Do you know how weird that is?
It's just engineer.
I don't know if that proves that you're very smart or just like a little bit strange.
I like betting. Probably strange, yeah, as well.
Okay, who what's...
Exciting.
So like next month we've got... Yeah, we're going to Europe. This time in 2 weeks.
Are we not in Europe right now?
No. We're in London.
Okay.
We are going over to Berlin to sit down with Enter and Fundamental for some, like, what would you describe?
Very in-depth discussions about what they do within, for Enter, a retrofitting space. And for Fundamental within ConstruTech.
Yeah.
Very, very in-depth discussions. Watch this space.
Yeah. And also then Monumental, as you said earlier. And from May as well, we our content, I think we mentioned this last time, but we'll be very much, we'll be releasing some extended versions of each of the episodes. So our typical episode now is like 40 typical I would say is like 40 minutes long. We do have the odd one that goes over because of discussion, or we have the extra time, so we use it. But for the ones coming out, we'll be trying to do some extended episodes where we dive a little bit deeper into that guest's brain, or their specialist area of knowledge, which we'll be releasing on Supercast. So we'll be making an announcement about that soon. And then we also have quite a bias towards the world of investment.
Yeah.
So it's primarily venture capitalist.
But I think not only, right? We've got them on one side, then we've got founders on the other side, then we've got other verticals like design within AEC, or supply chain logistics and like robotics, retrofitting. These are like very exciting, which I think we will be diving more in depth as well, probably within a slightly revised version of Bricks and Bytes.
Yes, all planning. So yeah, maybe a few changes, but
yeah,
we're working it out.
Yeah.
Building the plane as you fly. Or are we just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks?
I like the plane idea.
Yeah.
I'm flying
more
one.
Dangerous.
I'm flying one in the next week.
Really?
I'm doing trial.
Why?
Flying. I want to learn how to fly.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Why I want to learn how to fly?
Yeah, why?
Why? Because I like flying.
I just see you've read these people. Do you know what's quite funny?
Mm.
I was on a website yesterday which sells like secondhand planes. I don't know how I come across it. I think I was looking at media people in the world, and then I came across this guy who owns this like media network of I want to say like things that rich people buy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was planes. It's like use planes for sale or something.
Use plane,
like jets and stuff. It's all in the US, obviously.
Used plane costs less than like a
used car.
Lamborghini.
So you buy any plane?
If you're rich, you can buy a car for 200 grand, like 300 grand, and used plane costs less than that.
Yeah. ULEZ compliant?
Huh?
ULEZ compliant plane?
ULEZ compliant. No, it's probably some other.
Anyway, also we have some, so we'll be doing some more extended versions with, we have Semex, Zakua and Building Ventures lined up. And we'll be doing some deeper dives with those guys about venture capital and construction tech specifically. What are you excited about this week?
What I'm excited about this week, it's going to sound boring, but I need a few hours of break. So I'm excited about the weekend coming. Yeah, it's nothing. It's not nothing sexy. What
it's
about
you? It's not a
you?
Bad thing,
honestly. Yeah.
What am I excited about this week?
Mm.
I'm trying to jig a few things around in current businesses. So, looking at hiring someone in an executive position to push forward with a couple of the businesses that I'm currently involved with. So,
what would they need to do? Give an ad.
An ad.
An ad. Yeah.
They need to be self-motivated, able to work under
no stress.
I think for this position is difficult to like describe. You just have to meet people.
Mm.
I met someone earlier who would be a good candidate, but these things are part of a wider negotiation, getting to know each other. But I'm a true believer that you just have to go out and do this stuff.
Hire slow.
Start meeting these people.
Huh? Hire slow, fire fast.
Yes, who said that?
I don't know, my dad.
Exactly. Cool. Shall we wrap up?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.